Thank you for staying with us on Consider This Minister Address here with Sharad Kutan. And we're speaking tonight to Professor Terence Gomez from University Malaya. Now, Terence, you wrote an article about deploying GLCs in the economic impact of COVID. Now, if I were to quote you, on March 30th, you wrote, "There is little indication that the Prime Minister is using this government ecosystem effectively to deal with this pandemic." I wonder whether that ties back to what you mentioned just before the break, using the institutional framework that is already there. Could you elaborate?
Yes, that's quite right. Let me first stress that the word government ecosystem was created by the current finance minister, Zapo. It's the first time that word has been used, but what it does acknowledge is that the government is aware that they have created an ecosystem which they can employ, which is why I said I'm surprised they haven't employed it. So let me give you some examples of what they haven't employed. If we are talking here now about financing, and we are talking now here about an additional 10 billion ringgit, let's look at the GLC world, for example. Here we have institutions such as the bank, the GLIC bank, the GLC bank. We have Maybank, CIMB, Affin Bank, RHB, Bank Islam. Why weren't these banks brought into this framework that we are talking about now? Let's also talk about other institutions that we have, the development financial institutions. Here we have the SME Bank, the MIDF, the Bank Pembangunan, the Exim Bank, and most importantly, to Agro Bank. I say Agro Bank too because one key sector we need to look at and which was not mentioned in the stimulus package was the agriculture sector. Now, this is also important because we do know now that food security is a key issue. So what here we are seeing is, when I look at this stimulus package, is to my mind, I see a lack of coordination going on between these different ministries. Now, all these institutions that I mentioned are controlled by different ministries. The Prime Minister's office has control of a certain number of these GLICs, for example, Katana and DNB. We have the Rural Development Authority Ministry, which controls important institutions like MARA, Katsada, Katanga, which reaches out into the grassroots. Then we have the Minister of Entrepreneurial Development, which is in charge of the SME sector. But when we look at how the government reacted to this crisis, when they created a committee to look into it, we only saw the minister from the Prime Minister's department, Mustafa, we saw VT, Asmin, and we saw the Minister of Finance, Tunku Zafrul, in this committee. Where were the others? Why was rural development not brought in? Why was entrepreneurial development, which controls the SME Corp, not brought in? And what about the agriculture sector? The agriculture sector is also important because we have institutions like Pharma. Pharma is responsible for supply chains into the agricultural sector. LKIM, which is the Malaysian Fisheries Development Authority. Now, what is missing in the stimulus package is how are we reaching out, particularly to firms in the rural areas? What about the enterprises which are involved in agriculture? They constitute an important sector in this crisis that we are now facing. Why haven't they brought in, and they're in the stimulus package to BC, targeting Pharma, targeting LKIM to use them to get down to these institutions in the rural areas too.
Just jump in there. One of the things that you mentioned in your piece was the health sector GLCs, and you're saying that these haven't been deployed either, but you give a reason why. You seem to suggest that government is more interested in protecting the profits of GLCs, even though we're going through this crisis.
Yes, the problem here is that these are predominantly publicly listed companies. If you look at Sindhabi has got a whole slew of hospitals. If you look at KPJ also has hospitals. We look at IHH, they also have a range of hospitals. Now, I would have thought, and since the Prime Minister did say that it's important to get the private sector hospitals also to help out, I thought since they have majority control of these enterprises, they will bring this health, these institutions into the mainframe. Again, that has not been done. Now, when you had Mustafa on the show, Mustafa said that we have to think out of the box and we have to think of novel ideas. I'm thinking, why don't you use your existing institutions that you have here to get these health-based institutions also in? Now, this is extremely important also because it is not just the health-based sector that we are talking about. I also mentioned in my article, what about the banks? Why is the government not bringing in Maybank and CIMB more into this crisis that we are seeing? There also are the institutions that we can look at, for example, the plantation sector. In the plantation sector, we have FGV. FGV is a very important sector because it reaches out to a lot of people in the rural areas too. So there are all these publicly listed firms which have not been brought into the mainframe of the...
Terrence, the question is why? What are the constraints in government, do you think? Why? Well, why not bring them in?
I would pose the question to the government, but I would say a lack of insight into the very ecosystem that they themselves are talking about. For example, today, if I may give them talk about this too, the Prime Minister raised the issue of startups, and he talked about IR 4.0. These are important points that the Prime Minister has raised. But for that, you have to bring in the Ministry of Science and Technology. The Ministry of Science and Technology has got important institutions which play a role. MathCap, for example, is a very important institution here. So here, when the Prime Minister himself is raising issues about institutions or sectors that are key that he wants to help, like the startups, which are very important, which are predominantly in the high-tech sector, which he acknowledged too, then why isn't he bringing this? So to my mind, I would argue, they do not seem to be aware that they have these institutions at hand, which they can employ far more effectively. And that, for me, is a serious oversight on the part of the government.
Well, what then do you suggest? I mean, are you thinking about just tapping into this government ecosystem, or perhaps another level of oversight, perhaps having this brought to Parliament and then debated there?
Actually, that's a good point, Melissa, because I also argued in my article that clearly, given that the government seems to be unaware of what's available at hand, this is something that should be discussed in Parliament. I'm sure there are members in Parliament who will be well aware of this framework that I'm talking about, this institutional framework, which has not been employed in this serious crisis that we are now confronted with. If the government had taken up this point to Parliament and debated it, I think many of these issues which I'm now talking about would have been raised. I've seen some of the reports made, also comments made by members of the opposition, and they have drawn reference to some of these points that I'm making here too. So this, again, is another major oversight, I would feel, on the part of the government. The government should not fear taking this to Parliament and having a discussion about this so that there can be at least some debate about these ideas. The only debate I see going on here is within a small group of people within government. It doesn't even engage the larger segment of the public sector that I've just talked about, which should be brought into this discussion. Let me bring up one more point, which I think should be recognized, the spatial dimension. Here I'm talking about federal-state linkages too. If you look at the breakdown of companies, SMEs, across the peninsula and in Sabah and Sarawak, 35% of the SMEs come from KL Selangor. Selangor is now under the opposition.
Right.
7.4% of the SMEs come from Penang. Another 11% is from Johor, the three most industrialized states. Now, I'm bringing up this point because if we have the spatial diversity too, and if a large segment of the SME sector is also in the hands of an opposition-controlled state, two opposition-controlled states constitute nearly 50% of the SMEs in this country, should there not be greater dialogue between federal and state governments also in this thing, in this stimulus package that we are talking about here? Can federal and state governments also come together and work far more effectively in trying to help these SMEs?
That's a very important point, Terence, but unfortunately we have to end on that note. It's a great question to bring up, and I'm hoping that those watching will consider that point. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris, with me, Sharad Kutan, signing off for this episode. Thank you for watching, and good night.